Our second reading this morning comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native languages? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and the signs in the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. And the sun shall turn to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. And then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As many of you know, I grew up as a child of this church, so it is always a joy to come back home. And some of you may also know that I'm married to Loli, who was a youth director here for some time and now serves as the pastor at the Presbyterian Church of Sefner, just down the road. And Loli is originally from Puerto Rico and moved to Florida when she was in grade school. And so many people often ask me if I speak Spanish. And my half-joking response is always that I speak a little, just enough to know when my in-laws are talking about me or when I'm in trouble. Today's scripture from Acts portrays a scene that made me think of Loli's family. You see, many of her family live in this area, and so we often have a good crowd of loud and loving Puerto Ricans at our house for holidays or special events. And when I say a good crowd, I'm talking like 30 or 40 people, okay? So a good crowd. And while her family does speak English, they are understandably more comfortable speaking to one another in their native tongue of Spanish. And I used to try to pay attention and figure out what was being said. But truthfully, my fluency and the speed at which they spoke, it's not that great. And so it took a lot of work to track what was being said and to track what was going on. So now I just kind of float along and enjoy the festive atmosphere, enjoy the company. At some points during the party, though, one of Loli's aunts or a cousin will come over and chat with me, speak to me in English, and we'll catch up and carry on a conversation. In the sea of noise, kind of what we just experienced a few moments ago, in that sea of noise and the strained effort on my part to understand, when someone spoke my native tongue, it's like a clear bell sounding through the fog. It's easy to focus in on the sound and connect with that speaker. So I imagine there might be some similarities for the folks that we encounter in our Pentecost story today. So to set the stage a little for you all, there were a ton of Jewish believers who had gathered in Jerusalem from all over. They were there to celebrate Pentecost. And Pentecost was the third of three great festivals of Judaism. And it was known as the Feast of Weeks. And for the Jews, Pentecost marked the celebration of the gift of the Torah, specifically the Ten Commandments. And it was also a festival regarding the harvest. And in response, it was highlighted by the giving of the first fruits to God. So this was a high holy day, and the town was packed for a celebration. And our 11 disciples are gathered together in a house. And all of a sudden, the sound of rushing wind, a violent wind, filled the house where they were at. Tongues of fire appeared among them and rested on each of the disciples. And then the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages. So this was quite a scene. The noise of the rushing wind caught the attention of some of the visitors to Jerusalem. In fact, Scripture tells us that Jews from every nation under heaven were there in Jerusalem. So the sound of the wind and now this clamor from the disciples, it got everyone's attention. And a crowd gathered, amazed and astonished. People from all over are now hearing 11 people from Galilee speaking in their local languages about the mighty miracles of God and the life and the work of Jesus Christ. Greek was the common tongue, and they all would have understood that, but these disciples were speaking in the local or native languages, and they weren't just speaking, they were preaching. They were testifying to God's power and love in these different languages. It's also important to note that God did not send the Holy Spirit in a quiet time or in a private setting. There is a purpose for the Holy Spirit coming during this time and in this place. With all of the international visitors in Jerusalem that day, God sent the Holy Spirit during prime time. This is kind of like one of those really expensive TV commercials during the Super Bowl. In this setting, there is maximum visibility for this gift of the Spirit. But the scene was too much for some. They were probably confused and dismayed, so they dismissed what was happening by saying, "Oh, these disciples, they're drunk on new wine." And they were seeking to find a way to explain what they couldn't explain, what was happening. And so Peter steps up and gives what many consider to be the first Christian sermon, draws on the foundational of the texts of the Jewish faith to remind them that what they are seeing and hearing was already spoken about by the prophet Joel more than 3 centuries ago. God is a God of history. What was happening there was not to be explained away with drunkenness or an easy answer. Something significant was at work in God's Spirit as it was blowing through the room and through the hearts of those present. As Joel said, the Holy Spirit was being poured out for all flesh, for all God's people, as evident from who was there in the room. No one is excluded. All flesh means young and old, women and men, slave and free. The God of Israel is now the God of all nations. Freedom, liberation, salvation for all who follow God. For Christians, Pentecost is often seen as the birthday of the church. In fact, at Sefner Presbyterian Church right now, they have balloons. That's how they celebrate Pentecost, the birthday of the church. And biblical scholars have even identified some kind of fun parallels between Luke's telling of the birth of Christ at the beginning of his gospel, and then we have the birth of the church here at the beginning of Acts. And God's Spirit is also mentioned at the beginning of Genesis as the Spirit of God blew across the waters at creation. And that same Spirit that blew across in the beginning was blowing in a mighty way on the day of Pentecost. God's Word was still creating. At Pentecost, we celebrate the birthday of the church as we highlight God's Spirit being poured out for all nations and for all people of God. God's love and the freedom of God's salvation are not for a chosen few, but for all of us. Pentecost is about the birthing of the church, but also about the broadening of the church. The church, the body of Jesus Christ, would not just be for early Christians or even the Jews. In the very scene of Pentecost, we see that God's blessing extends to a wide and varied group of people. As Peter quotes Joel at the end of our passage, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's also important to note that Pentecost occurs 7 weeks after the crucifixion, a day that many in power probably thought meant the end of Jesus and his troublesome movement. But Pentecost sent a different message. In Pentecost, we see the broadening of the church by 3,000 people in that very day. These divided tongues of fire would speak with one voice about God's deeds of power in the language of every nation under heaven and all the families of the earth. God's awesome power is revealed both in Christ's resurrection and then 7 weeks later again in the gift of Pentecost. The gift of the Holy Spirit that marks the birth and the broadening of the church is a gift for those outside the Jesus movement. It is not a gift for the disciples. It is a gift for the outsiders who are listening in. What it does for the disciples and what it does for us is empower us to connect to others. The story of the Tower of Babel in Genesis is often paired with the story of Acts on Pentecost. And in the story of Babel, we see the people's one language being the source of arrogance and power. And a proud humanity was put in its place with divided tongues. But in Pentecost, we see a reversal a restoration from the Tower of Babel story, as all these varied tongues come together to speak one message of God's power and love. God's love is broader than the measure of our mind. Ultimately, Pentecost represents God's purposes for all humanity. God seeks to bring people together in understanding, despite their differences. And as scholar Michael Jenkins states, the cacophony of voices became a chorus of praise, Babel became communication, and community was fashioned out of potential adversaries. So what? Or as the crowd who gathered at Pentecost, what does this mean? It means that there is hope. We live in a world that seems to be beat down with conflict and disagreement. So much focus is placed on how we are different, how we might disagree. There's great division in our country and in our world as we seek only the comfortable company of those who agree with us, as we don't really get to know those around us for who they are, but identify them first with what their stances are on issues, or what party they might belong to, or how they may vote, or where they're from. We witness fanatic nationalism under the misnomer of patriotism. We see people fearing differences, afraid of otherness, the strangeness of the stranger. And we continue to see people pursuing power over others as they insist that their identity or beliefs alone reflect God's nature and God's way. But the good news of the gospel and in Pentecost is that we see there is hope. We see that God's love is for all. We see that we as followers of Christ are called into a diverse community. The cacophony of voices becomes a chorus of praise. Babel becomes communication, and community is fashioned out of potential adversaries. As Kevin mentioned at the beginning, we are in the second week of summer camp, and just a few weeks ago we had staff training for our college-age folks. And one of the parts of staff training that I get to help out with is I teach a lesson on called Hot Topics. And the idea is that we want all of our counselors to know what is and is not in our Bible study curriculum for the summer. But more importantly, we want to teach them how to handle difficult questions or topics that may come up from our campers. And while we don't intentionally bring up hot topics with our campers, we want Cedar Kirk to be a safe space where they can ask questions and mature in their faith and their understanding of how God is at work in the world. So we define hot topics as anything, any subject, that many sincere and faithful Christians may disagree about. So as you can imagine, there are a lot of hot topics. So I asked the staff to brainstorm a list with me to all the hot topics they can think of that come to mind. And so we fill an entire easel page of paper with just tiny writing, all kinds of topics, and many of them controversial. Abortion, capital punishment, gun laws, authority on scripture, sexuality, other religions, on and on and on. And the purpose of the exercise is not to focus on the things that we may disagree on. We intentionally have this lesson after the staff have been together for a few days. They've really started to get to know one another, and they can appreciate the uniqueness of one another. The lesson reminds the counselors that we have gathered together as a diverse community, rich in gifts, but also rich in differing perspectives, that we may have a variety of viewpoints on those issues, but that our purpose for the summer and our purpose as a community doesn't dwell on those differences. Rather, it is centered on our common goal of sharing the love of Christ and community together, showing campers what Christian community can really look like. I end that session on hot topics with them with this statement: in the essentials, unity; in the non-essentials, openness; but in all things, love. The community that forms each week at camp is nothing short of God's handiwork. People from all ages, from varied home lives and backgrounds, all flesh, most of whom are strangers, coming together for the week and becoming friends, becoming a community where all are lifted up and loved. As Christians, we affirm that we are created in God's image, a triune God of love that is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, triune God that is in itself eternal and living community. We too are created and called to be in community. Not uniformity, not conformity, but community. There is hope. But how can we be open to those we disagree with? How can we seek to find commonality and the things that unify us? How can we show love? Friends, the answer is easy, but it's pretty hard to carry out sometimes. We're called to love our neighbor. We're called to talk to the stranger. We're called to be friendly, to seek to understand someone who may be different from us. Ultimately, we are reminded that all who call upon the Lord will be saved, and it is not up to you or I, and there is great freedom in that. The winds of Pentecost turn us outward to widening and broadening the family of God. Pentecost orients us out towards our community. And on that day, God's fiery love created a community where only strangers stood before. May we seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. May we seek openness and understanding with those we disagree. May we pursue unity in Christ's name, recognizing God's good creation and all of those around us. And may we love as we have so generously been loved. And to God be all glory and power, now and forever. Amen. Now let us stand together and continue worshiping by singing hymn number 291.